This is HPR episode 2610 entitled GNU Orc, part 12, and is part of the series Learning Orc. It is hosted by Dave Morris and is about 34 minutes long and carries an explicit flag. The summary is advanced use of arrays.
This episode of HPR is brought to you by archive.org. Support universal access to all knowledge by heading over to archive.org/donate.
Hello everybody, welcome to Hacker Public Radio. This is Dave Morris and I'm doing part 12 of the GNU Orc series, or Learning Orc as we're calling it. So I started talking about arrays in episode 10 and I thought I would continue that. In this episode we're looking at some of the advanced elements of arrays. Now the stuff I'm talking about today is specific largely, I think, to the GNU version of Orc. That means if you're using Orc, which is not the enhanced GNU version, then some of these might not be available, so you need to check to be sure. So I'm talking about arrays, but I'm also going to finish off with an example of using Orc to solve a problem that I had. This is not relative to arrays, but just because I thought it was useful if you had some real-world examples of using Orc rather than the sort of fairly sterile examples that you tend to find in these episodes otherwise. So I'm going to start talking about pat split. I mentioned the split function in the last episode I did on this, episode 10. But there's a more powerful function for splitting strings into array elements, and it's called patsplit, because it splits according to patterns. It takes a series of arguments. First one is a string, which is the thing to be chopped up, and it's going to be chopped up according to the third argument, which is called field pat, which defines the way in which the string is to be split, and it's put into the pieces are put into an array, which is the second argument. There will be separators between each of the fields, or there may be anyway, and they, yeah, I think there would have to be, wouldn't there? And they are put into a further argument, which is an array, which is denoted by seps in the example. We'll look at this in a bit more detail. This is very similar to the way that split works, and you can see the examples I gave you there. But the main difference from split is that this field pat argument, the third one, is a regular expression which defines the field rather than the separator. So I've got a bunch of examples here, and I've gone for splitting up comma separated stuff. Now what I've done here is to write a script which deals with $0, the input record. And I'm just giving the example one record, but this would work with multiple records, of course. I'm using $0. Now you could just as well have ignored pat split and used the standard splitting mechanism, but we haven't really covered how you can do that using a regular expression. There is a built-in thing called fpat, which is similar to fs, which allows you to do that, but hasn't been covered yet. We'll be adding that into the series a bit later on. So I've got a bunch of examples which I've called orc12_ex and then a number.orc. This one is ex1, and what we're doing here is we're using patsplit to split $0 into an array called A. We're doing it by finding fields which consist of 0 to any number of non-commas. So it's the regular expression is in slashes, and it's open square bracket, then a circumflex, which means not, and then a comma, close square bracket, asterisk. That means 0 to any number of characters which are not commas. So in other words, anything that consists of things which are not commas followed by a comma, followed by not commas and a comma will fit that. Then having split it, there's a loop which goes for I in A, remembering that that's the way that you walk through an array, and it prints out the value of the array A indexed by I. So if we feed it an apple a day keeps the doctor away with commas instead of spaces, then the output is the same sentence with spaces in between. I'm printing them out without new lines and then putting a new line on the end so you see an actual string. I've used a similar sort of approach throughout these examples. In the example, not the thing that you can download, which is the awk script, but in the actual example in the notes, I've shown the process of making a bash variable x into the string an apple a day keeps the doctor away, then using bash's editing features to replace all the spaces by commas, and then feeding that to the awk script, which then removes them again. It's a silly example, but I hope you get the idea from that. Now, if you wanted to do a more complex regular expression, example 2 shows that. This example takes the expression, the string, I should say, a bird in the hand is worth two in the bush, but I turned the word bird into a red bird, separated by commas and enclosed in double quotes. So in standard CSV format, you can have elements of the comma-separated variable list, which contain spaces, or commas indeed, enclosed in double quotes. So I've just emulated that. Then when it's printed out with each of these elements separated by spaces, and I put angle brackets around each one just to make them stand out more clearly, and you can see that the red bird string is one entity. The regular expression consists of two sub-expressions enclosed in parentheses with a vertical bar in between them, so it's an OR type expression. The first one is the same as in the previous example, with a series of zero or more not commas, if you like to put it that way. And the second one looks for a double quoted string containing one or more things which are not double quotes. So that this technique of saying the thing that encloses a string followed by any number of characters which are not the enclosing characters is a technique you'll often see in regular expressions. So that works fine with the example, as you will see. And that's EX2. Then in EX3, we've got an example where the pattern is quite simple, but what we're doing here is we are saving the separators. So the pat split is simply using a series of letters, capital or lowercase letters, one or more. So any sequence which matches that is the field definition, field pattern. We're saving the result in an array S. The script prints out all of the elements of the array which are captured by splitting, and of course I've called the array A because I've got much imagination. No new lines, just spaces in between the elements followed by a new line at the end, and then similar loop to print out the contents of the array S. Now when I say similar loop, it's not quite the same, because this time it's a counted loop, because when you run pat split, it returns the number of fields that it found. And I captured that in a variable called FLDS, short for fields. So I used that in a loop, setting I equal to 1, then adding 1 to it while it's less than or equal to that number of fields. So that prints out all of the separators. And then it puts a new line on the end. So the result is you get the words in the sentence fed to it, followed by a line containing all the separators. What I fed to it was the expression grinning like a Cheshire cat, where each word is separated by a number of hyphens. So the first thing you see is grinning like a Cheshire cat, separated by spaces, followed by all the different hyphens separated by spaces. It just so happens that the separators, the hyphens, are the same length, sequence of hyphens, same length as the word before it. And I just wrote a little awk script to do that, which I've included in the notes here, but I've marked it skip unless you're really interested. So I won't read this one out. You can dig into it if you really want to. It is available for download if you want to grab it and mess around with it. Now, the printing of the array S doesn't begin at zero, it begins at one. But there is a zeroth element because it captures, pat split captures the separators prior to the first field. Well, there aren't any in this case, so I didn't bother to print it, but it's worth bearing in mind because it can be of interest. Okay, that's all I'm going to say about pat split. Let's move on to sorting arrays. Basically, there are two main ways to do this. The first one is to use an extension in GNU Orc, which is a built-in array variable called procinfo, all in uppercase. The element of the array has the index sorted underscore in, because that's a string, it has to be in double quotes. So procinfo square brackets quote sorted in quote close square bracket. That's the magic variable which can be used to control how arrays get sorted. In the original version of Orc, the non-GNU version, then arrays came back in an arbitrary order when you loop through them. So sorting them could be a bit of a pain. And I know this because that was one of the things I had to do in my early computing career. When I started to use Orc, there was no sorting built in. The thing you put into the procinfo element is a string, predefined string, which begins with an at sign and consists of various keywords. And the default one is at unsorted, which means that the array come back as in standard org in an arbitrary order. Then there's a bunch of others. I'm not going to read them all out because there's quite a number. It's a little table I put together of them. Take, for example, one that I quite like to use and one I've used in the example, which is at VAL underscore STR underscore ASC. That stands for values, the values of the array as opposed to the indices. STR, treat them as strings. ASC, in ascending order. The notes here say order by element values in ascending order. Scalar values are compared as strings. So whatever values are placed are found in the array elements, be they numbers or strings, will be treated as strings and sorted accordingly. So this can be quite useful. I certainly would have been more than delighted to have had this when I had various tasks to do using Orc back in my career. Setting this value is determined, it determines the sort order, but before the loop scanning it begins. You can't change it during the loop, while the loop is scanning. And what's more important perhaps is that whenever you set this value, procinfo sorted in, then it's effective throughout the entire script. There's no sort of scoping or localization. So if you have a script an Orc script that's printing arrays in several instances, they're all going to be sorted in this way. You can change the value between instances of writing it out, of course, but you can't. And you can also switch it off by setting it to unsorted, but it has a wider effect than might be obvious. There's a bit more to this thing than I've mentioned here, and I've just alluded to it, because arrays can be more complicated than we've seen so far. Plus also, this procinfo sorted in can also contain the name of a function which will perform sorting on the array for you. It's just a function that you have to define. We haven't looked at functions, user-defined functions yet. I'm not sure whether we will go into this when we do get to that point. I've pointed to the GNU Orc manual, section 8.1.6, which covers this in a lot of detail. So if you really need to use this, then that's the place to go. So there's an example which is called EX4, another downloadable one, and it consists of a begin rule And in the begin rule, proc info sorted in is set to at val underscore string underscore ask, the one I mentioned before. And we just use split to split our $0 into an array. It's doing the split by space, which is the same sort of split you would get in default awk anyway. But if you split stuff in the usual way with awk, you can't easily sort it, and it doesn't go into an array. Then the script prints out the elements of the array, and they will come out in sorted order. It uses for I in A, as we've used before. It prints out the value of I, and then the value of the A array indexed by I. I've fed it the string, an Englishman's home is his castle. And because it's sorted on the value, it comes out as an Englishman's castle his home is. And you'll see the indexes are not in sorted order, but the values are in sorted order, alphabetically sorted, with the capitalized letters before the lowercase ones. I think that's quite a potentially useful thing. I have certainly used the sorting capability in the past to capture frequency information from bits of data, and frequencies were often a thing that were quite important bits of knowledge in the environment I worked in, and having a sorted list of frequencies was often a useful thing to have. So sorting in this way, or alphabetically sorting the names that you were doing frequency counts on or something like that, was often quite a desirable thing for various reasons. So let's now look at the functions which are available for array sorting. Beyese mentioned them when he was doing his review of string functions in episode 11. The functions we're going to look at are called asort and asorti. Now the two functions have pretty much the same arguments. I have listed them separately and described each of the arguments separately in the notes. The arguments are the source, which is the array that you're going to be sorting. Then the second one is called dest, which is an optional one, which is the place you're going to put the results of the sort. And the third argument, which again is optional, how, is a way in which you can define the type of sort. The how argument, not too surprisingly, can be any of the strings that we've already seen, these at unsorted and at val string desk and ask and so forth, that we saw in the context of the proc info stuff. Anyway, let's look at the examples. I'll whiz through these fairly quickly. There are three of them. First one is EX5, and I've made them all fairly trivial, where I've defined an array and called it A, and the array is indexed by the numbers 1, 2, and 3. And in it, I've just put names. Jones was the first one, X, I was thinking of Mr. X when I wrote that, I think, and Smith. And then I used asort A on that array and printed out the results. So using asort on that array A, which has got the values 1, 2, and 3, the indexes, results in nothing very exciting. I had to do a double take on this one, example 5, because the array is being loaded up with indexes 1, 2, and 3 with the strings Jones, X, and Smith. Then it's being sorted, and the sort will cause the values to be sorted. So when it's printed out, you get Jones, Smith, and X in alphabetical order. But the indexes have been changed to be 1, 2, and 3 against the Jones, Smith, and X. So in other words, potentially the indexes are completely destroyed and are replaced by the numbers 1, 2, and 3, or whatever's appropriate for the number of elements. And it's not very obvious in the example, so I apologize for that. But it's an odd thing to do in some respects, because you're taking an array which has got indexes which one assumes are important, and it's reordering the indexes. So 1 stays at Jones, 2 instead of being X becomes Smith, and 3 instead of being Smith becomes X. So it's a slightly odd thing to do, I guess you'd say. I think the proc info method is better in many ways. Example 6, I have done the same thing, Jones, X and Smith in an array A, but I've, instead of using numeric indexes, I've given them characters A, B and C. And what I've done this time is used A sort on A, but I've said the destination is to be B. So in doing that, the A sort first of all copies A into B and then sorts B and does its stuff with B. So there's a loop which loops through the array B and it prints out 1 Jones, 2 Smith, 3 X, the same as before. But then the second loop prints out the array A, which goes A Jones, B X and C Smith. So in that case the indexes have not been destroyed. But they are being messed up in the first one. Example EX7 uses the other function, A sort I, and it creates an array A where the indexes are strings, third, second and first. So third is Jones, second is X, first is Smith. Then A sort I A, that when that's printed out you see that what you've got is an ordering of the indexes, but the actual values have been thrown away. So you might wonder what on earth is the point of that. I think I might be able to explain that in a moment. Example 8, number 4 in this group, uses A sort I, but with a dest argument, so that you don't destroy the original. And it's pretty much the same, except that it prints out the result by using one array to index the other. So it loops, it's A sort I, the array A into B, and then it loops through B, so for I in B. And then for each element, it prints out the array B indexed by I, and then it prints out the array A indexed by BI. So the result is first colon Smith, second colon X, third colon Jones. So effectively it sorted them into the correct order by index without messing up any of the data, or at least the data has been messed up in array B, but B, the results in B have been useful in indexing A. Hope that makes sense. And I have to say that when I was having to do sorting of this sort of stuff myself using just basic sorting algorithms in Orc, then that was the technique that I used. But it's a little odd until you get the idea of it. And that's why I think Orc is changing these arrays, because it's assuming you're then going to use them as ways of indexing the original data. The next example, the fifth one in this particular group, EX9, uses the same sort of idea, the three elements in an array indexed by A, B and C. It's using A sort from A into B, but it's using the how value, the how argument, and it's using @val_str_desk. So descending by value, treating them as strings. Then it's using array B in the loop, and it's printing out the index of B and then the contents of B. Element A of A was Jones, B was X, element B was X, element C was Smith. And when it comes to print these out, you see X, Smith and Jones listed out in that order, in descending order, with the indexes 1, 2 and 3. This is useful, but I would offer that the use is moderately limited. Okay, I've got a section here entitled Yet More About Arrays, but it's really just to say I'm not going to do any more about arrays just now. There is more to be said though. There is a sort of multi-dimensional array capability in Orc. For an original Orc it had this, and it's still available in GNU Orc. And there's a considerable enhancement in that you can have arrays as array elements too in GNU Orc. But I'm not sure that we're going to be covering these topics in this series. There's loads of information about this in the GNU Orc manual if you want to dig deeper. However, if we receive any requests to cover this area in more depth, then we'll reconsider doing something about it. I must admit, I have never used multi-dimensional arrays, nor arrays of arrays, which can be arbitrarily deep. And there are some quite reasonable facilities for manipulating them and walking through them and stuff. But it's not a thing I've ever used in Orc. If I was to do that, I would use a different scripting language, I have to say. Time is marching on, so let me go quickly through my real-world Orc example. This is about things I do, and one of the things I do is to process show notes for HPR, which are sent in with episodes. Many people send in their show notes as plain text, which is fine, but we need HTML for loading into the HPR database. So what I do with them, I've got a series of scripts in with which I check them, pull the notes out of the file that we get from the form, and I edit them to fix any errors, turn them into Markdown, and then generate HTML using a tool called Pandoc. As part of that process, I look at the HTML that's generated locally. I've grabbed this and I'm working on my local workstation, and I make a copy of the HTML in a format which is easy to browse, and Pandoc is good at doing this. It turns the Markdown into standalone HTML, which I can view in a browser, and it looks pretty much how it will look when it's on the HPR site. So that's the point at which I can say, oops, there's a mistake here, and go and fix it, and move on from there. Now, to make the HTML copy I want for viewing locally, Pandoc has recently changed to the extent that you need to provide further information. The further information is a couple of lines of metadata, which has to be in a format known as YAML. YAML is a sort of simplistic data format, which is quite well defined, but simple to produce and human readable and so forth. There are alternative ways of doing it, but I'm using the YAML option. So the way this should look is there should be two lines of metadata with three hyphens above, three full stops below, and the two lines consist of title colon, the word title colon lowercase, space, then the title of the show, which has to be enclosed in quotes, or should be, I enclose it in quotes anyway. The second one is author colon space, then the name of the host, and I enclose that in quotes too. And that's used to generate headers in the final document. This is just for my own benefit. So I wrote an Orc script to generate this YAML metadata, and I'm embedded that in the bash script that I use to run Pandoc. So I've included this bit of Orc in the notes here, and it consists of 14 lines. This is part of another script, as I said. The first line is Orc space minus F, and then a space minus a hyphen character, then the name of a variable, which is then redirected into an output file, again defined by a variable. The first variable is called $rawfile, the second variable is called $tmp1. It's a temporary file that'd be thrown away afterwards. But the end of the line, and this is where we're digressing a little bit from Orc into some of the areas of bash, consists of a thing called a here doc. And a here doc is a way in which you tell bash there is some data that's to be added or given to or stored in a file or given to a program. And you, in order to do this, you need to use two less than signs followed by a word. The word has to have no spaces in it. I think it contains other characters. I usually just make it a series of letters. This particular one I've called end Orc, all in capitals. I put it in quotes, and I'll mention this in a moment. Everything from that line up to a line that only consists of end Orc starting in column 1 is data to be chewed up by Orc. And because the Orc command uses minus F, which is telling Orc where the program file is to come from, the script itself, and the argument to minus F is a hyphen, that hyphen means get it from the standard input channel. So it's telling Orc effectively that what follows is the program. It's just a convenient way of including an Orc script in another script immediately after the invocation to Orc. You can put the whole thing in quotes, but if the script itself uses quotes, things get really convoluted. This particular case includes both single and double quotes, so using quotes to enclose it would be a real pain. The quotes around the Heerdok Terminator tell Bash not to interpolate any dollar signed variables in the data. By default, it will actually scan this data, and if it finds dollar something, it will assume it's the name of a Bash variable and it will interpolate it. If you put the Heerdok Terminator in single quotes, then it won't do that. And I've got dollars and stuff in this script. The script itself begins with a begin rule, and the begin rule simply prints out the three hyphens that we need to start the thing. And it ends with, on line 13, I put line numbers on this one for ease of reference, it ends with an end rule which prints out the three full stops at the end of the metadata. Then there are two regular expressions in the main script, and these are things which are going to be matched against the input data. The first one is an circumflex title colon with a capital T, and what this is meant to do is to match the string title, which is in the input file, where that input file is the one that's come from the HPR server and contains the data that's been fed in by the host submitting the show and has been turned into this file. So one of the items on the form is the title of the show. So we're looking for the result of that. So the rule itself uses the sub function, which we've looked at in the previous show, which matches the string circumflex title colon, circumflex being the start of line, as you'll remember, and uses backslash s after that because that means a universal white space sequence, single white space, I should say. So that's a space or a tab. I think most of these, when they're returned, consist of one tab, but not quite sure. So I just did this to be safe. And the second argument to sub is simply an empty string. What it's saying is the bit of the line that comes in, the one that begins title, chop the bit off that says title and is followed by white space. So it removes it entirely. So all that's left is the actual title. Then the next line, line 5, is a G sub. G sub, you'll recall, is a means of doing multiple substitutions on a line. And here it's looking for single quotes. And if it finds any, it will replace them by two single quotes. And that's because YAML needs, if you've enclosed a string in quotes and you're wise to do so, then if you want to embed single quotes within it, then they have to be doubled. So that's what it's doing ready for YAML. Then it finally prints, line 6, it prints the string title colon in lowercase, followed by one space, followed by the final result of these bits of editing in single quotes, followed by a new line. And it's actually printing $0, which is the entire line that's been matched by the regular expression. The second regular expression is the rule, begin by a regular expression, is looking for host name, and that's doing the same sort of thing, except it's looking for the name of the particular host in this file that's come back from the form on the HPR website, and it's doing pretty much the same thing. I won't explain it again because it's pretty much identical. When that's finished, the result should be that the four lines of metadata should be in the file whose name is in the variable tmp1. And then a bit later on in the Bash script, there's a long line which calls Pandoc to do the necessary thing. And as part of its arguments, I've printed them all out here in the notes, but I don't really think I should explain them because I'm not sure anybody's interested. But essentially, it's given Pandoc two data files called $tmp1 and $extract, which it's to process and produce some results in a file called full HTML. Along the way, it's told Pandoc to include the HPR CSS, which it's grabbed from the website. So it means that the HTML that's produced looks identical to the sort of HTML that the HPR website generates itself. That took a lot of explanation, but it's really not a very complex awk script. I thought it might be of interest. See the sort of thing that awk gets used for, at least the way I use it. And it also shows an example of using a bash here doc, which people might not be that up to speed with. So that's it. That's the end of my show today. There are all of the examples I've mentioned are included in the show. There's an EPUB version of the notes. Okay then, bye-bye.
You've been listening to Hacker Public Radio at hackerpublicradio.org. We are a community podcast network that releases shows every weekday, Monday through Friday. Today's show, like all our shows, was contributed by an HPR listener like yourself. If you ever thought of recording a podcast, then click on our contribute link to find out how easy it really is. Hacker Public Radio was founded by the Digital Dog Pound and the Infonomicon Computer Club and is part of the Binary Revolution at binrev.com. If you have comments on today's show, please email the host directly, leave a comment on the website, or record a follow-up episode yourself. Unless otherwise stated, today's show is released under a Creative Commons Attribution ShareAlike 3.0 license.